Today's shiur, Maseches Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Daled. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The Gemara on Daf Lamed Daled opens at the top line with the question, "My taimo to Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda." What is the reason behind the opinion of Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda that was featured in a Tanaic source at the bottom of Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, which featured a Tanaic controversy concerning the right of the witnesses to express their opinions or feelings or ideas regarding a case, a capital case? According to the first opinion, the Tanakhama, the Edim cannot express their ideas. According to Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda, the witness is allowed to, using the words of the Braisa, oine lizchus, v'ein oine lechoiva. He can offer suggestions and ideas that would help to exonerate the defendant, but not information or ideas that would serve to indict him. With that in mind, the Gemara here is asking, what is the basis of his opinion that allows a witness to be malamed zchus to offer ideas or information concerning the innocence of the defendant in a capital case? The Omar Kro, the Pasuk says, Eid Echod Lo Yane Benefesh Lomus. A witness should not say things, ideas or opinions that would serve to see the defendant die. Lomus Hu De'ena One, the Gemara makes the inference, draws an inference from this Pasuk that for death he cannot speak, Avol Lizchus Oine, but he can speak on his behalf. The Rabbonan, who disagree with Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda, who said that even for innocence, for merit, the witness is not allowed to speak up. Omar Reish Lakish, Mishum Demechsi Kenogea Be'edusa. His comments appear that he is speaking from a standpoint of vested interest. Let us look at Rashi at the top of the page. V'rabonon, the Amri afilu lizchus lo yane, according to the Rabbonon that say that the witness is not allowed to speak even on behalf of the defendant, mishum denogeahu badovar, he has a vested interest. Shemischoreit boi, he may have feelings of regrets. After all, he offered testimony indicating that the defendant is guilty. He may have regrets, v'doyeg, and is afraid or fearful, shema yigomer hadin l'choiva, that the verdict may be a verdict of guilt, v'yavi ze edim lehaziman, and the defendant may bring witnesses that would show these witnesses to be liars through the hazoma process. The hazoma process indicates or states that witnesses that are found to be Edim Zomimim, they get the punishment they were trying to inflict through their testimony on the defendant. So if you have witnesses that offer testimony in a capital case indicating the defendant should be killed, and they are found to be Zomimim, then they will be killed. Umehader lo motzi hashi behu la'achar kedei dibor. And as far as if they are in fact fear-struck, there is no option of their simply backing out of their original testimony after the lapse of time of Kedei Dibor, after a few, 2-3 seconds. The Kevon Shehigid, once testimony is offered, Shuveno Chozer Amagid, witness cannot say further testimony. Therefore, out of this, the witnesses may be motivated out of fear in order to speak up now on behalf of the defendant, realizing their inability to withdraw their original testimony. The Gemara continues, V'rabbonan hai lomus mai darshi bei, the source for Rabbi Yossi Behuda that allowed him to make an inference from the pasuk, what do the Rabbonan do with that term? Answer, mukmi lei be'echod min ha'temidim. The Rabbonan will use this pasuk with regards to one of the students that are in the in the presence of the court. Kedesanya, Omar echod min ha'temidim. You can see, of course, we're in the midst of a Tanaic source, being that it is framed and in our marking system. You are familiar already from the introductory information that Tanaic sources are framed off to set them apart from the rest of the Gemara literature. So the source says that if one of the Talmidim, Omar Echad Min Ha'edim, if one of the witnesses say, Yeshli L'lamed Olav Schus, I have what to say on behalf of the defendant, Minayin She'en Shomen Lo, from where do we know that we do not listen to him? Talmud Omar, Eid Echad Lo Ya'aneh, that a witness is not to speak up. Minayin le'echad min ha'talmidim she'omar yeshli v'amed olav choyvo minayin she'ein shomen lo, from where do we know that in a capital case, if one of the students that are in the presence of the court wants to speak up with information of a condemnatory nature, that we do not listen to him? Talmud lomar echod lo ya'aneh benefesh lomus. Echad being taken to mean anyone, meaning not just the witness. This is the word lomus at the end of the source was the question that was raised just before the Gemara introduced the source. In other words, that the Rabbonan used the word lomus to address the issue of one of the Talmidim. Dinei nefoshos hamalamed v'chulei. And the continuation of the Mishnah said, "Aval hamalamed zchus eino choizer umalamed choiva." Before we proceed with the Gemara, let us just look at the topic and heading and structural note that we have in the outside margin. The nosei mivne dinoi shel rav. We will see Rav's halacha, Rav's law. Ha dekotoni de bedinei nefashos hamalamed zchus eino choizer umalamed choiva. That which the Mishnah said that he who speaks up on behalf of the defendant cannot turn around and speak against him. Hainu rak b'shas masu matan. That's only during the initial deliberations. Avol b'shas gemardin, when the time has arrived to issue a verdict, hamalamed zchus yochol achzer ulamed choiva. The one who originally had spoken up on behalf of the defendant can now turn around and speak to his detriment. In the course of the Gemara, after seeing Ravstein, you will notice a series of triangles. And as you are familiar, in our marking system, all the geometric forms represent a series of whatever. In this case, there are four kushios al Rav. Four questions will be raised against Rav. So now we turn to the Gemara. Amar Rav, lo yishanu, this restriction of the Mishnah, that one who was malamed zchus, one who spoke on behalf of the defendant, cannot turn around and say to the contrary. Lo shanu, this is taught only, elo b'shas maso matan, during the basic deliberations of the case. Avol b'shas gemar din, when the time for issuing a verdict has arrived, malamed zchus choizer u'malamed choivo. The one who had originally spoken up on behalf of the defendant can now turn around and say things to the contrary. The Rashi says, "Avol b'shas gemardin shechipes kvar hakol," that he's searched everything, all the information has been heard. The achshav nireh shita. Now, the one who originally spoke up lizchus on behalf of the defendant feels that he had erred. Umalamid chova can therefore turn around and speak against the case of the defendant. The Gemara now raises a question. Meisvei, and as we introduced before, this is the beginning of a series of questions. Meisvei. Lemocharas, on the next day. The idea of the next day is in reference to a case where a guilty verdict was arrived. And we say that when a guilty verdict is arrived, conclusion is arrived, we leave it over till the next day before making the final Gemar Din conclusion. That's called Halonas Hadin. So in that context, it says, Lemocharos Mashkimin Uboyin, the members of the court get up early and assemble. Hamezake Uimer Ani, Hamezake Umezake Ani Bemukemi. I was one of those that voted for innocence, and I am maintaining that position. Hamachayev Omer Ani Hamachayev Umachayev Ani Bemkomi. And the those who voted to indict, to find guilty, say that they are still of their opinion. Hamalameid choivo, malameid schus. He who had voted for guilt can turn around and change his opinion and say something in defense of the defendant. Avol hamalameid schus eino yochol lavzu lameid choivo. But he who spoke on behalf of the defendant, he who voted in favor for innocence, cannot turn around and say guilt. V'ho lemocharos gemar din hu. When you're talking about the period of time called lemocharos, the next day, that is the time for the issuance of the final verdict, the gemar din. And we see from the dashed underlined section that one who was malamid schus cannot turn around and malamid choiva. This is a difficulty to Rav. Rav will answer, ulitamech, according to you that are trying to ask me from this, lemocharos masumata mileko, on the next day is there no further discussion? In other words, is there no deliberation before the issuance of the final gemar din, the final verdict? Ki kotani, this source that says eino chozer umalami choiva, that's bishas masumata, that's during the deliberations that still continue. However, when it comes to the point in time of the final verdict, the gemar din mamish, the actual gemar din, then Rav says that the one who was malamed schus can turn around and malamed chova. Toshma, we try another source and attempt another question. The source opens up with a case where there was a split decision in the court. Namely, 36 felt he is guilty, and 35 innocent. And we know that in a guilty verdict, in a capital case, there needs to be a majority of two. So 36 versus 35, you only have a majority of one. So in that context, the source says, Donin Elu Keneged Elu, they deliberate each with the other, Ad Shiyura Echod Min Hamachayvin Divrei Hamezakin, until one of those that was in favor of guilt will see that there should be innocence. So the example that is cited here is the going from guilt to innocence. But we don't see the other way. V'im Isa, if Rav is correct, that B'shas Gemar Din, he who originally voted for innocence can now go in the other direction for guilt. So it should have said over here that as far as establishing the required majority, it could have said here that they deliberate with one another until one of the Mezakin sees the point of view of the Mechaivin. The fact that that example wasn't offered, it shows us that when you reach Gemar Din, so he who was originally voting for innocence cannot change his mind to vote for guilt, and that is not like Rav. The Gemara answers that in fact could have been cited as an example. It wasn't for one technical reason. Tana, the author of this source, Azchus Komahader, he's seeking the direction of innocence. It's nicer, it's more pleasant to speak in terms of innocence. Achoiva lo komahader, he's not looking for the example of guilt. But that's as we said before, that's a technicality. he could have used that example as well, but that wasn't his intention in teaching the source. The Rashi points out, Tana azchusa nichole la duri umisni mishum lishna ma'alya, because of our attempt in speech to provide pleasant speech, choice terms. In truth, it could have been taught the opposite, namely that he who had voted for innocence can now vote for guilt. But that wouldn't be pleasant speech. Toshma. We attempt a third question. The Omar Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, Echad min ha-talmidim shezika. If you have a situation where one of the students that was present and participated in the vote, umes, and dies before the Gemar Din is stated, Royin oisoi ki ilu chai v'oimeid b'mkoimai. We view his opinion, we view him to be as if he were alive, and his opinion will count in the vote. V'amai, if Rav is correct that at the point of Gemar Din, he who had voted for innocence can change his mind, Neymar, let us suggest, Ilu Have Kayam Hodarbe. Had this student who died, had he remained alive, he might have changed his mind. And that even though he was originally Mezakeh, he might be Melamed Choiva. So the Gemara says, Rav would answer that that might be true. However, Hashto Miha, now, however, Lo Hodarbe. Before his death, he didn't turn around. And as a result of that, that's the opinion that remains. However, had he been alive, he could have changed his mind like Rav. The Gemara asks, "V'hashocho mitam v'divrei Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina motzei michlal Rabbeinu," that according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina's opinion, Rav stands in diametric opposition. So the Gemara says, no, you got it wrong. Ein motzei itmar. That Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina's opinion is not to the exclusion of Rav. The Rashi points out, Umishani ein motzei itmar, hochi sholchu le, thusly was sent from mitam, from Eretz Yisrael, L'divrei Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, ein motziin michlal divrei Rav. The taimei de Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi's reason for saying that we consider his vote of innocence, is because mishum dehashto mi'alo hodarbe, because he did not change his mind before his death. But had he remained alive, he could have changed his mind just like Rav. Toshma, the fourth question. Notice we have noted this as a long question. You can see by the appearance of a triangle, number 4, to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a dashed vertical line. Toshma shnei sofrei hadayonim oindim lifnehem echod min hayamin ve'echod min asmoil. There are two court scribes that stand in front of them, one to the right and one to the left, v'koisvin divrei hamazakin v'divrei hamachayvin, and they record the words of those who voted for innocence and those that said guilt. Bishlma divrei hamachayvin l'mochar chozu taimo achrina. I understand well why the words of the opinion of guilt were recorded, because they might find another reason to find guilty, another svora, another tam of guilt than that which they originally voted on. So ubo l'mevar halonas din, with the fact that the reasoning of the Dayonim is recorded, and they had said, those that said guilty want to say a different reason for guilt, then the requirement of halonas din kicks in, that since it's a new reason that's stated, the guilty verdict cannot be issued until you wait another day. Therefore, it's important to have the ideas of guilt recorded, so that when a new opinion comes up, in other words, it will be contrasted with what was said before, and we'll see in print that what's being said now is different than that which was said yesterday, and that will require the din to be left over another day. Elo, divrei hamazak in my time, what's the reason for recording the words of those that felt that the defendant is innocent? Lav mishum, is it not because the e chazu taimo achrino lechova, that if they should want to change their minds for guilt, lo mashkichinan behu, we won't listen to them. In other words, we'll have their votes of innocence recorded, and now if they try to change their minds and say guilty, we'll say, well, look what's written here. You voted for innocence, and you cannot change your mind. And that would be akasha on Rav. Hence, we've dashed underlined the expression lo mashkichinan behu. The Gemara responds, loy. The reason for recording the divrei hamazakin is kedei shelo yomru shnei shnayim tam echod mishnei mikrois, so that we don't have a situation where two opinions, in this case of innocence, try to say their opinions. Say their opinions based on the same idea, but each one citing a different pasuk, a different verse to support the same idea. Kidabo mine Rav Asim Rabbi Yochanan. Omru shnayim tam echad. Two people said the same reason. However, mishnei mikros mahu, but each one cited a different pasuk to back up his opinion. What is our opinion regarding this? Omar Le, Rabbi Yochanan says, Ein moinin lohem elo echad. These two votes for innocence will count only as one. And why is that? Minohani midi, what is the basis of saying that? Omar Abaye, the Omar Kro, Achaz diber elokim, Shtayim zu shomati ki oiz lelokim. The Gemara understands this to mean mikra echod yotzei lekama te'amim. One pasuk may be the basis of a number of different explanations. However, v'ein tam echod, but one explanation is ein tam echod yotzei mikama mikros, cannot emerge from multiple psukim. We glance at the Rashi that's found on the first wide line. Achas diber elokim, shtayim zu shomati, aval shtayim lo diber elokim lishmo achas. The Kodesh Baruch Hu wouldn't have cited two psukim to derive one idea. Debei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, the school of Rabbi Shmuel has a second source for this idea. Ilchafatish yifoytse sela. That's a posuk. Ma patish ze mischalik lekama nitzotzos. Just like the hammer causes numerous sparks. Af mikro echod yoytse lekama ta'amim. So too, one posuk can be the basis of many different ideas. However, the opposite is not the case, that multiple psukim are responsible for one idea. As we go on in the Gemara, we will take note, first of all, of our tight topic heading that's on the outside margin, the nosei, which we already started. Ein tam echod mishnei mikros. One idea cannot be based on two separate psukim. We also have a mivneh, a structural note, three dugmaos. We're going to show three examples in the Gemara of what might be two psukim coming to teach one point. The Gemara then, after presenting some of these illustrations, will we have noted a botai form, dechios, will reject these. And will show that the two psukim that were cited are not really coming to teach one idea, but there in fact is a difference between the two opinions. And being that there's a difference in the two opinions that will be cited in the upcoming examples, that is the reason for the citing of two separate psukim. The Gemara goes on now. Hechi domi tam echad mishnei mikros. And it should be pointed out that if you have a situation where one idea is being based on two separate psukim, then one of these attempts is certainly a mistake. This is pointed out by Rashi at the very end of the narrow lines where he says, Lo nichtavu shnei mikros latam echad. Two psukim would not have been recorded to teach one idea. Hilkol chad minayu mita toi. Therefore, one of the opinions is making a mistake in his attempt to cite a verse to back up that particular idea. So as we go on in the Gemara with the diamonds, we will be attempting to present what would appear as a situation of two psukim teaching me the same thing. Omar Rav Zvid, Kiddisnan. We have the following source. This source deals with the idea that the altar, the Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash, was able to sanctify things that are unfit, that are pusel, in so far as that if they go up on the Mizbeach, they're not brought down. Mizbeach mekadesh es haroi lo. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, kol haroi li'ishim, things that are fit for the fire, on the top of the Mizbeach there was a fireplace, im ola lo yered, if it goes up, it does not come down. Before we go further, let us take a look at the Rashi, HaMizbeach Mekadesh, Psulim. It'll sanctify things that are posel, that are unfit. Shim olu lo yerdu, that if they are brought up, they don't come down. Rashi continues, Es horoylo, ubovat she dovor shenire kvar lamizbeach. Provided it's something that at a certain point in time had been fit for the Mizbeach, but something later on went wrong. And the Rashi goes on with numerous examples, but for our purposes, we can continue. So Rabbi Yeshua says, anything that's fit for the fire, im olo, lo yered, shenemar, ho'oilo al moikdo, ma oilo, shi ruyali, shim, just like a korban ola is something fit for the fire, im olsa lo tered, if it goes up on the mizbech, it doesn't come down, af kol shu ruyali ishim, im olo, lo yered. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, kol haroi lemizbeach, anything fit for the altar, im ola lo yered, shenemar, hi ha'oila al moikdo al hamizbeach. Ma oila shi ru'uya legabi mizbeach, just like the ola that is something that's fit for the mizbeach, im also lo tered, af kol shu roi lemizbeach, anything that had been fit at a certain point in time, and then only then subsequently became posel, if im ola lo yered. Utravayu, my komarbu. Both of these opinions, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel, what are they including? In other words, just like they said, just like the Ola, if it goes up, it doesn't come down. So too, anything else. What's that anything else? What are they including? Psulim, as we offered in our explanation, they are both referring to that which is posel. Mor maisi lo mimokta. Rabbi Yeshua cites the word mokta as his source for that, and Umar Maisi Lo Mimizbeach, and Rabbi Gamliel cites the word Mizbeach. So what do you see? You see two opinions saying the same thing, that we will include Psulim, things that are unfit, that if they are brought up, they do not come down, and two separate verses, two separate words are being cited to teach one thing. So here we have an example of what might be a tam echot mishnei mikrois. The Gemara rejects this. V'ha hosam mifleg pligi. In fact, there is a machlokas between Rabbi Yeshua and Rav Gamliel. And as a result of there being a difference between them, of course, they cite different psukim, because we're dealing with a situation where they are not the same idea being learned out. The Katoni Seifa, the end of that Tanaic source says, Ein bein divrei Rabban Gamliel l'divrei Rabbi Yeshua, elo hadam v'hanesachim. That there is little difference between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua except for blood and the wine offering. The nesachim are an accompanying wine mincha offering that accompanies numerous korbanos. Shomliel omer lo yerdu. According to Rabbi Gamliel, if they go up, they do not come down because the dam and nesachim are roi lamizbeach. Rabbi Yeshua omer yerdu. Rabbi Shul would say that if they're brought up, they do come down because they're not fit for the fire. The dam and the wine do not go into the fire. Elo Omer Rapopo. Well, we try a second attempt to show a situation of the same idea coming from two different psukim. Kedesanya, in the following source. Rabbi Yoisi Haglili Omer. Mitoch Shenemar, Kol Hanogea B'Mizbeach Yigdosh. Anything that touches the Mizbeach becomes sanctified and is not to be brought down. Shomeani bein roi bein she'eno roi. Maybe I should derive from here both things that are fit for the Mizbeach and things that are not fit at all for the Mizbeach. Should that be? Examples of that would be fermented dough, se'or, or devash, fruits, or Tzvi, which is chayos, that are not fit for korbanos at all, not fit for sacrifices, the chulin and unsanctified creatures are those also, if brought up to the mizbeach, stay there. Talmud lomar kivosim, ma kivosim ruyin av kol roi. It has to be something that had potentially been fit, not something that was never potentially fit. Rabbi Akiva omer oila ma oila ruya. Af kol roi. They're citing in effect two different psukim, and the travayhu my komimati, both of them, Rabbi Yosef Lili and Rabbi Kiva, what are they excluding? Psuli, things that were never fit for the mizbeach, if brought up, must come down. In other words, the same thing, they both agree. However, mar maisi lo mikvasim, mar maisi lo meoila. Each one is citing a different pasuk, but to teach the same thing. So here we once again have an example of one opinion derived from two separate psukim. The Gemara rejects this. V'yomar Rav Ado Bar Avo Oilas Ha'oif Psula Iko Binayu. A bird offering that's unfit is a point of difference. Man demaisi lo mikvosim. He who derived his opinion from citing the word kvosim would say kvosim in avol oilas ha'oif lo, that kvosim are included in this halacha of if they go up, do not come down, but that would serve to exclude the oilas ha'oif. Umanda maisi lo me oila, and he who cites Ola as his source would say afilu olas oif nami olas oif as well if brought up on the mizbeach, though it is possible, will remain there. So as we saw before, we have Rabbi Yosef Lili and Rabbi Akiva. They are not saying the same thing. There is a point of difference between them, and as a result of that difference, they have a right to cite two separate psukim. Elo Amar of Ashi, a third attempt. Kedesanya, this source is going to deal with the issue of shchutei chutz, the prohibition of offering sacrifices outside the Beis Hamikdash. Dam yechoshev lo ishahu, dam shafach. Le rabois es hazoirek, divrei Rabbi Yishmoel. That this comes to include one who does the sprinkling of sacrificial blood outside the Beis HaMikdash, that he will be Chayev Kores. Rabbi Akiva Oimer, Oy Zovach, L'Rabois Es HaZoyrek. That's the end of the source. As you can see, the frame closes here. V'travayu maiko marbu. Both of these opinions, what are they including as being forbidden outside the Beis HaMikdash? In other words, there's a basic assumption that one cannot slaughter things that are of a sacrificial nature outside the Beis HaMikdash. What else is forbidden to do in that context? So what are both opinions here including? Zrika, the sprinkling of the blood as well. Mar maisi lo midam yechoshev, umar maisi lo me oizobach. One opinion derives the idea of the prohibition of blood sprinkling from dam yechoshev, and the other one derives that same point from oizobach. Once again, the same idea, namely, let's include zrika, but from two separate psukim. The Gemara at this point tries to reject this by saying, "V'omar Rebbe Avo Shochat V'Zorak Iko Binayu," that if someone slaughters and sprinkles in one state of lack of awareness, and what's known as Behelam Echad, is a point of difference. L'divrei Rabbi Yishmael Eino Chayav Elo Achas. L'divrei Rabbi Akiva Chayav Shtayim. And in this attempt, we're trying to say there's a difference between the two Tanoim, that according to Rabbi Shmuel, since it was done in one state of mind, with no awareness between the slaughtering and the sprinkling, therefore he's chayev only one. It's considered a singular offense, and in the event that he did it inadvertently, he would bring one korban chatos. According to Rabbi Akiva, chayev shtayim. According to Rabbi Akiva, he would be chayev two separate korbanos, one for the shechita and one for the zrika. So if we were to pause here, we would then be focusing on our bow tie form. Notice, of course, that it's a dashed bow tie. It looks a little bit different. And the reason for that is that in the previous cases where the bow tie appeared, we rejected the attempts to show one idea from two psukim, pointing out that there were differences between those two opinions cited in each source. Here, we also have an attempt to show there's a difference. However, the Gemara now rejects that. Ha itmar alo omar Abaye. It was stated concerning this by Abaye that af ledivrei Rabbi Akiva nami eino chayav elo achas. Even according to Rabbi Akiva, if a person did slaughtering and sprinkling, shochat v'zorak, in one state of lack of awareness, Rabbi Akiva would agree with Rabbi Yishmael, nami, that what? Eino chayav elo achas, diomakro, and why is he chayav only one? Why is he guilty only one offense? Because the pasuk says, shom ta'ale oiloisecha v'shom ta'aseh. Arvinu Rachmana Lekulu Asios. The Torah combines all actions as if they're one, as they're considered a singular offense. So at this point in the Gemara, example 3 would be a good example of one idea derived from two separate psukim, and as we learned earlier in the Gemara, it seems that one of these would have to be considered a mistake. Dine momenus donen b'yoim v'goymrim balaylo. Mino hanimili. From where do we know that the financial cases are concluded at night? Before we go further, let's just take a look at our topic heading. The nose, machlokes tanoim im gemar din shel dine momenus yochol liyos balaylo. Can the final verdict of dine momenus of financial cases be issued at night? The Gemara continues. Amar Rav Chiya bar Papa, diomar kro v'shoftu esa'om b'chol eis. The pasuk says that judgment can be done at all times, including night. So if that be the case, let the beginning of a case start at night. So that we respond, no. Kedarava, based on Rava's teaching, the Rava Rami. Rava raises a discrepancy, an inconsistency in two psukim. Ksiv v'shoftu es on b'chol eis. One pasuk says that judgment takes place at all times. Uksiv v'hoya b'yoyim hanchilo es bonav. And the other pasuk makes a reference to daytime. Ha-ketzad, how do you resolve these two psukim? Yoim equals l'tchilas din. Daytime is the time that cases start, namely only by day. Laila equals l'gmar din. The nighttime is fit for the issuance of final, of the conclusion of the final verdict. Masnisen delo k'Rabbi Meir, desanya. We now present a source that is presents an opinion, that contains an opinion, namely Rabbi Meir's opinion, that's not like our Mishnah. It's a long source. Let us take advantage of our marvelous marking system to quickly see how this is not like our Mishnah. So we look at the dashed underline. We see a pasuk at the beginning of a line, a couple lines down, Uvayom. And it says there, Af Rivim Bayom. So too, Rivim is a reference to court cases are by day. And that expression, Rivim, we've written in above that, Kolel Gemar Din. And that's the ikur, that's the main point in bringing in this source. That when it comes to court cases, the entire court case must take place by day, not at night, including the Gemar Din. And that is not like our Mishnah. As we go on, we will encounter a reference made to Negoyim. The issue of Negoyim has to do with different skin changes in appearance that is associated with certain levels of tumah, and the necessary procedure that must be taken when a nega breaks out on someone's skin is determined by a kohen coming and issuing a ruling concerning that appearance, the appearance of the nega. Hoya, the source begins, Hoya Rabbi Meir Omer, Ma tamad lomar al pihem ye koriv v'chol nega. That based on their word, their decisions will be raised concerning Riv, arguments, and Negoyim. V'chima inyan Rivim Eitzel Negoyim. What is the reason for stating in one pasuk these two concepts? The concept of arguments, of court cases, and Negoyim. Ela makish Rivim l'Negoyim. The pasuk wants us to compare one topic to the other. Ma Negoyim bayom. Just like Negoyim are judged by day. Dichtiv uvayoyim heraois boi. Af Rivim Bayom, so too court cases, including the Gemar Din, are only by day. Uma Negoyim Shelo Besumin, and just like Negoyim are judged by people that are not blind, namely they're sighted, Dichtiv V'chol Mar'eh Einei HaKohen, as he sees with his eyes, Af Rivim Shelo Besumin, so too court cases are judged by sighted individuals. Umakish Negoyim l'Rivim. And now a comparison in the opposite direction. We compare Negoyim to Rivim. Ma Rivim Shelo B'Krovim. Just like court cases are taken care of, are adjudicated by non-relatives. In other words, as we've seen in the past, relatives are not acceptable. Not as witnesses nor as judges. Af Negoyim Shelo B'Krovim. So too, when it comes to expressing halachic ruling concerning a nega, we have to have someone that's a non-relative. E ma rivim b'shlosha, af negoyim b'shlosha. If we're to be true to this comparison, are we to say, just like court cases are done by a minimum of three judges, so too negoyim issues are decided by three? V'dinhu, and logic would say that's the way it should be. Mamono b'shlosha gufo lo kol shekein. If his finances are decided by three, then his body certainly should require three. So to that we say, not true. Rivim, court cases, yes, three, but Negoyim, not necessary. Tamad lomar v'huva el Aharon HaKohen o el Echod v'chulei. That the case of Nega is brought to Aharon or to one of his descendants. The emphasis on the word one. Ha lamadat el shafilu kohen Echod roya es HaNegoyim. When it comes to the Negoyim, even a singular Kohen, he is acceptable. He is all that is necessary for ruling on the Nega. Hahu Samyo, there was a blind person in the neighborhood of Rabbi Yochanan, Davidoyin Dina, that was paskening, that was ruling cases. Velo Marle, Rabbi Yochanan, Velo Midian. Rabbi Yochanan didn't say anything, he remained silent, seemingly a sign of approval. Hechi Ovid Hochi, how could Rabbi Yochanan remain silent and allow a blind man to serve as a judge? Velo Rabbi Yochanan, Halocha Kista Mishnah. And we have a Stam Mishnah. We've used a volcano marking to emphasize two Tanaic sources as the Gemara unfolds. The source says, "Kol hakosher lodun, kosher lohaid." Anyone who is fit to serve as a judge can serve as a witness. The yesh kosher lohaid. There are those kind of people that can serve as a witness. The ain kosher lodun, that even though they might be able to serve as a witness, they're not allowed to judge. The Omer of Yochanan, la suye sumo beachas meinov, a person who's blind in one eye, though he may serve as a witness, he cannot serve as a judge. So if Rabbi Yochanan is true to his opinion, Rabbi Yochanan said that we follow Stam Mishnayis, meaning unnamed Mishnayis, and here we have an example of a Mishnah that's unnamed, and generally it is thought that unnamed Mishnayis are authoritative. And we see here that blindness is a liability when it comes to serving as a judge. So how can Rabbi Yochanan have allowed a blind man to serve as a judge in his vicinity? The Gemara answers, Rabbi Yochanan Stamo Achrita Ashkach. Rabbi Yochanan, who allowed the blind man to serve as a judge, found another unnamed source which allows a blind man to serve as a judge. And it is as follows. Dine Momenos. It's our Mishnah that says, Dine Momenos donen b'yom v'gurimim b'layla. Dine Momenos, they start by day and they can finish at night. The idea here is that nighttime is like blindness. It's a time where there's no sight. And as a result of this, Rabbi Yochanan allowed the blind man to serve as judge. So the Gemara now asks, "My ulme dahai stamo mehai stamo? What is greater in strength, ulme strong, concerning source base, the second source, namely our Mishnah, over the Mishnah beforehand that was found in Maseches Nida?" The Gemara provides a couple of answers. Ibo esemo stamo de rabim odif. One approach is that the stam source that represents the Shitas HaChachomim is greater, has more strength than the stam source that represents a shita of a singular name in this case Rabbi Meir. Case Aleph, source Aleph that said that a blind man, someone's blind in one eye, is not kosher lodun. We saw before. That was an idea that Rabbi Meir would have advocated in the source with the Negoyim, the longer source above. We notice over there that there was a comparison between Rivim and Negoyim, and it said Ma Negoyim Shelo Besumin, just like Negoyim is with not cannot be handled by a blind Koyin, so too Rivim is Shelo Besumin. A second answer of why Rabbi Yochanan chose source Beis over source Aleph. V'boyesemo mishum dekotoni lo gabi hilchiso dedina, because the source Beis is taught in Maseches Sanhedrin, it's our Mishnah, and as such, it carries greater weight than a source that's taught in Maseches Nida, which is not focusing on laws regarding courts. Therefore, a source that is found in the context of laws regarding courts would carry greater weight with regard to things that apply to the judicial process. The Rebbe Meir that said Rivim is only by day. Hai v'shoftu esha'om b'chol eis mai doresh bay. The posuk that we saw above, and you can use the arrows to navigate, that when the Gemara asked above, how do we know Dine Momenus one is they're gomrim balayla. You can conclude them at night. And Rabbi Meir, we know, disagrees and says even the conclusion is limited to the daytime. What does he do with this pasuk that says b'chol es, that it means at all times? Omar Rava, the suya yom ha'unan. The b'chol es comes to include a day, a cloudy day, for judging. In other words, we're going to say that a cloudy day, even though it's not fit for negoyim, it nevertheless is fit for judging. The Snan. The source says, Ein royin es negoyim, the viewing of a nega on someone's skin is not to be done shachris, ubein arbayim, v'lo besoch habayis, v'lo b'yom ha'ma'unan, not by the shachris, the early morning, or the later part of the afternoon. These are times that the sun's strength is weak, and not while in a house. The nega is not to view while in the house. V'lo b'yoyim ha'ma'unan, and we've dashed underlined this. This is the main point for us, that negoyim are not viewed on a cloudy day. M'mei shekeah nireis aza, because that which is ordinarily not tame, keha means it's of a weak brightness level, it will appear brighter than it really is, and will end up ruling of tumah when it's not real, when he's not really tame. Velo b'tzorayim, and negoyim are not viewed at noon either. Mitnei she'aza nireis keha, because a truly strong or bright nega will not appear as bright as it is, probably because the sun is overpowering at that point in the day. So our question was, what does the Rabbi Meir do with v'shavtu asam b'chol es? As we said, as far as judging is concerned, it's unlike negoyim, and that judging can be done on a cloudy day. Rabbi Meir, who said that daytime is for judging from a comparison to negoyim, Hai b'yoyim hanchilo esbonov my avdilei. What does Rabbi Meir use that pasuk for? That pasuk that emphasized daytime, but he doesn't use the pasuk for daytime. He learns daytime from the comparison to negoyim. So the Gemara answers, Hahu miboyalei lichetetoni rabo bar chanina. He needs it for that which Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Bar Chanina, taught Kamei Rabbi Yochanan ben Nachman, in the presence of Rav Nachman. V'hoyo b'yom hanchilo esbonav. That pasuk deals with inheritance. B'yom ato mapil nachlois, v'ato mapil nachlois balayla. And this would seem to indicate that during the daytime their inheritance takes place, and not at night. Omar le Abaye. Abaye, in commenting on this, finds something troublesome. And before we go on in the Gemara, let us take note of the fact that we have a long marking to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, between the Gemara and the Rashi. And we have Abaye's name encircled with a vertical dashed line, indicating the length of Abaye's speech now. So Abaye says, Elo me'ata, based on this teaching that was just taught, man deshachiv b'yamama yarsun leibone, uman deshachiv b'leilalo yarsun leibone. One who shachiv dies in the during the daytime, then and only then do his sons inherit from him. But one who dies at night, lo yarsun. Yarsun is like the word yorusha, the tuf and the shin interchange. The one who dies at night, his sons will not inherit. Abai continues saying, maybe the source that was taught in the presence of Rav Nachman had a different understanding. Dilmo din nachlois koamris. Maybe the judicial process regarding nachlos is what was intended, as opposed to timing. Desanya. This will become much clearer as we go on. The source says, V'hoiso livnei Yisrael l'chukas mishpot. Oiro kol parsha kulo lios din. The parsha, the section in the Torah dealing with inheritance, comes to a climax in order to teach that it is that the rules of inheritance conform to the rules of judicial procedure. Three that go in to visit a sick person. In this case, we'll talk about a deathly ill individual. And the deathly ill individual is saying what he wants to happen to his property. So the three visitors, Rotsu Koisvin, Rotsu Oisin Din, they can record his words in writing, or they can rule immediately that if the sick person says, I want Reuven to get the eastern field and I want Shimon to get the western field, they can say Reuven is now the owner of the eastern field and Shimon of the western field. However, Shnayim, if two people come to visit the ill individual, Koisvin v'ein oisin din, two as opposed to three cannot serve as a court. Three, as we've learned already numerous times, three is a number that can serve as a court. The Omer of Chizda, lo shanu ela bayom. This halacha that three can issue a ruling immediately, this is provided that they are visiting the sick person by day. Aval balayla, if they're visiting him at night, kaisvin vein oisin din, all they can do is record his words, but not, they cannot rule on what he is saying. Mishum dahavlu edim, because at nighttime, since that's not the time for courts to be in session, these three can serve merely as witnesses and record his words. Vein aid naasidayon, and they as witnesses cannot serve as judges. The Rashi points out, avo balayla, the bottom line, she'ena roi lodun, the nighttime which is not fit for judging, kaisvin, all they can do is record his will, v'ein oisin din, afilu lemochar, she'mitchilosan lo niru, leshev leshem din, and the next day, they cannot reassemble and rule, because their appearance in this case was initially not l'shem din. They appeared as witnesses, and the rule is that witnesses cannot convert into judges. So rather, these three would have to present their testimony to another court, and that other court would then rule who assigns the property that the sick man was attempting to assign. At this point is the end of Abaye's speech. The point is, Abaye, upon hearing what he felt was a problematic source, suggested maybe the intent of that source is for this particular rule, the difference between three visiting the sick man by day versus the three visiting him at night. Omarle in. So he said back to Abaye, yes, hochit kwamino, this is what my intent was in teaching this source. Dine nefoshos donen bayom v'chulei. Minohani mili, from where do we know that Dine Nefoshos are dealt with only by day? Omar Rav Simi Barchio, Omar Kro, Vahoika, Oisom Lashem, Neged Hashemesh. And they will be hung in public while the sun is out, meaning by day. This pasuk features the hanging of those that were involved with the Maisa of Benois Moyov, which was, and for our purposes, a capital offense, was involved there, and the dealing with the victims or the guilty was Neged Hashemesh. Omar of Chizda, minayin lahoka shehi tliya. From where do we know that the word vahoka in this pasuk is a reference to hanging? Dichtiv v'hokanum l'Hashem begiv asho b'chir Hashem uksiv v'tikach ritzpo bas'ayo es hasak v'tateu lo el hatsur mitchilas katsir. Rashi on the top says v'tikach ritzpo bas'ayo, this woman took some sackcloth and covered the bodies of the people that were killed that are featured in that section of the Nach and Sefer Shmuel. And Rashi points out that we see from this pasuk that Megulim Hayu, they were exposed, Lufi Shetluyin Alo Eitzim, because they were suspended from trees. And at a certain point after they had been exposed, so the pasuk tells us that she took this cloth and covered them. What's important for us is that we see that the Hokanum in the pasuk from Shmuel Beis is a reference to those that were hung, and hence the pasuk just before, Vahoka Osa Lashem, also refers to a hanging. But in the bigger picture, for our purposes, the pasuk of Vahoka Osa Lashem Neged HaShemesh was the source for that capital cases are dealt with by day. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.